This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. Ibrahim Sani, Melissa Idris, and myself, Sharad Kutan, with the top business stories of the day. Don't forget, though, after the 8 o'clock news that we have on the breakfast grill today, Anusha Tavaraja, she is CEO of AIA Berhad, and she's going to be going head-to-head with Julian Ng about the insurance agent sector industry.
Quite interesting because, again, the insurance landscape is facing liberalisation. Bank Negara is liberalising that. Also, this year has the theme for this year has been the disruption of fintech to the financial services industry, banking, and insurance not excluded. So we would like to hear a little bit from AIA what they're doing to resist the threat of fintech.
Yep. In connection with this, the insurance sector is banking on an overall growth trajectory for Malaysia. We've had the CEO of Maybank, Etika, which is called Maybank Aegis Holdings. They mentioned that they are expecting the GDP growth for Malaysia to grow. And this morning, we found out that the IMF, too, is projecting very high growth for Malaysia for 2017. According to the IMF, or the International Monetary Fund, Malaysia's real growth GDP is expected to increase to around 4.5 next year, following the press release yesterday. The IMF says that the Malaysian economy continues to perform despite significant headwinds. Now, this is in direct contrast to what Nomura is saying, basically, because Nomura earlier this week says that the headwinds that Malaysia is facing is increasingly wearing down the Malaysian economy, and they have projected far lesser than a 4.5% growth rate.
Yes, I wonder what's underpinning this optimistic outlook from the IMF, especially as I have to say, going into 2017, you're plagued by uncertainty. What kind of president is Donald Trump going to be? Is he going to aid in the strength of the recovery of the US economy? And what repercussions will that have for global trade as well as, a country like Malaysia?
So the biggest problem for a weakening currency like the ringgit is that we can't spend outside, and therefore the domestic growth must be fueled by private consumption growth. And this is what the IMF argues. Private consumption growth should remain strong because, we can't spend. It doesn't make economic sense for people like you and me, Sharad, Melissa, to go spend outside because of a weakening ringgit.
But onions we buy from India and China. And if they're denominated in the US dollar, when they come in, they're going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
If onions are expensive, everything becomes expensive. Right. More expensive. So you don't have to leave planet Malaysia to actually experience this fall in purchasing power.
Imported inflation.
But this view by the IMF is actually echoed by business leaders around the country and around the world, Malaysia, they argue, is still attractive for foreign and local investors. Malaysia's steady economic growth makes Malaysia a rather attractive destination for foreign investors. And this is according to the ASEAN Business Leaders Conclave that happened yesterday.
I've never heard anyone say otherwise. It's not that they're going to come here and say, you're really not that attractive anymore.
Right. Actually, this makes a lot of sense because, again, based on our weak currency, it makes it a lot cheaper for them to come here. Imagine this, right? When $1 was 3 ringgit. That is how much you're going to cost your business to come here in Malaysia. But right now it's at 4.5, and a lot of forex strategists are arguing it could go up to 4.7, 4.8. Imagine that. It makes it one and a half times cheaper for you to come here now today than it was 2 years ago.
But like in having children, setting up a business is not simply a function of the relative strength of the currency. It'll have to be much more, because assuming that the Malaysian ringgit does strengthen, does it make us any less a good business proposition? Were we less a business proposition when we were 3 ringgit to the dollar? It really has to do with everything else that goes into the mix, right?
Absolutely. So one of those things include infrastructure and the mode of transportation, which, my friends, today is the first day of the MRT. It kicks
Gong
off today.
Day. Yeah. D-Day. Gong
so,
Day.
So this is much anticipated, the 16-12-16 hashtag that's been sort of promoted on Twitter to get people to kind of recognize this as the day that you know, you can actually board the new MRT system.
Is it Jomnai LRT?
Yes,
MRT.
And there's that too, yeah, Jomnai MRT, because today you can actually night. You know, okay. Before you could only watch from the sidelines. But apparently,
now you can actually enjoy the ride, yeah.
In more ways than one, apparently, well, the reports are, and it's very clear, that there's going to be a month-long freebies given out to commuters, and the Prime Minister has called it a New Year gift. I think coming up to the anticipated early elections, we're going to see a lot of freebies, government by freebies, and not just at the federal level, but also at state levels. We'll see everybody in power giving out freebies in order to stay in power.
So the gates at the 12 MRT stations has opened at 6 o'clock just now until midnight tonight. My mother is proudly tweeting away and also WhatsApping me away on the fact that she is one of the first few borders of the MRT all the way to KL right now. Worth noting that under Phase 1, which is, this is exactly what it is, mm-hmm. there are 120 feeder buses linking all 12 stations and covering all 26 routes. The fare is currently capped at 1 ringgit per trip. Of course, this fare will change after they have recalibrated the whole operations.
All right. So you were talking this morning, Sharad, about how, you know, reflected on the front pages of the newspapers today that this doesn't necessarily mean Malaysia is on track to being a first world nation just because we have, you know, improved transport infrastructure. It comes with all sorts of things, the way we built it and all these different elements that comes into this project.
Yeah, I mean, NST does put a kind of spin on it, making it sound like this is a major moment in our history. I think we only have to look, Melissa, at how we manage the current systems that are in place, the bus systems, the current LRT system, to see that promises about feeder services and all that are great as promises, but the operations really are crucial. And so the design of the bus stops, the placement of routes, that services, if people aren't leaving their cars at home and taking the MRT or the LRT to work, then you're asking yourself, how good a public transport system alternative is it?
Yep.
You know, and that's really proof. I actually don't drive, so I take these public transport. I know, and I sometimes think that people who design it and who operate it don't actually ever take public transport because they're so badly designed.
Yeah, and you know, upon querying you just now, what do you mean by, you know, design? This includes the awnings, the covering of the pedestrian walkways.
Yeah, it's connectivity.
The connectivity. So for instance, the MRT this morning, right, it's not yet connected to the other train stations.
Well, okay,
right?
So this is to be fair, it's the first phase, right? So there are other phases that will have more connectivity. This first phase line, the only connection is, I think, the KTM commuter at Sungai Buloh. The other phases will have more connectivity to existing rail transport. Do you not think it's far too early to judge whether or not this has problems with efficiency or operational issues?
You know, this. I think the government has been in power since independence, right? And so they have been in control of many factors, maybe not as much as, say, Singapore. Singapore always wins prizes for its, you know, transport hubs and all that, because in some sense they're in control of everything and they can just, you know, requisition land and they can make all these, they can kind of design the city almost complete. But Malaysia maybe has more challenges. Maybe the private enterprise and private property rights are respected a little more here. I don't know what it is, but the fact remains that it's not like these ideas sprung up yesterday. And all you have to ask yourself is, in current systems, if they're not working well, then how are they going to work well in the new system?
Yeah, and also,
it's just another line, really.
And also, when you talk about infrastructure building, it's also the way you build it. And yesterday, according to the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib argues that the transportation project came in at 21 billion ringgit, which is well under the targeted 23 billion ringgit.
So how much under?
So 2 billion. That's the target figure.
2 billion under.
Quote unquote, the Prime Minister says that this means that we have succeeded in saving about 2 billion ringgit from the targeted cost set by the government. He said this at the Kuala Namansar MRT station yesterday. He also said that about 50% of the total contract value was awarded to Bumiputra companies, perhaps arguing that this is exceeding the 43% target for awarding to Bumi Putra contractors.
Okay, we also have Post Malaysia in the news. It's teamed up with Etika Takaful to offer insurance plans through its vast postal network branch.
So Post Malaysia...
Postal branch network.
The Post Malaysia is an old company. It does, you know, delivery services of postal services. But because of the management dynamics there, they have continued to reinvent themselves again and again. We've had the CEO, Shukri, Melissa, I believe you spoke to him on the Breakfast Grill. And right now, you know, there's a lot of bang for the buck for Post Malaysia Berhad. For instance, with this tie-up, they expect revenue to grow between 10 to 50% next year from premiums worth about 10 million ringgit to be sold following the strategic partner with Etika Takaful Berhad. Again, another company that has just been recently on the grill. I spoke to the CEO of Etika Takaful and he says that both Etika and Post Malaysia will continue to reinvent themselves by offering new products through new channels. And this is continuing Post Malaysia's very innovative product of servicing through pawnbroking system, through e-commerce delivery and many more.
It's a clever tie-up, I think. It's really great synergy simply because Post Malaysia has branches where not always all banks can set up. You know, you're talking about rural access as well. So quite a good tie-up, I would say.
Okay, so next up we have the news. And remember, after the news, we have the Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.